Our gospel reading comes from the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus said, I tell you, if the people were silent, the very stones would shout out. You may be seated. Well, good morning to you all. Very happy to be with you this morning. Thank you to Pastor Kim for offering me such a soft landing. And also, I like this whole no robe thing. It's nice and cool. I want to extend warm greetings to you from Emmaus Lutheran in this season of creation. I always have a deep sense of satisfaction whenever we do these collaborative things, even if it's just pastor swapping, because I believe it communicates something that is at the core of what we value as people of God. Namely this. We are a people who are not on this sojourn in life alone. We walk together. In a world that is increasingly fragmented and polarized and alienated from social connection, I rejoice and give thanks that our little corner of Christendom, our little Southside ELCA collaboration is alive and well. We work to transcend that regrettable norm. Last week, as we followed our very own lectionary, custom made for you for the season of creation, we talked about the fact that we are creation. We, all of us here, are creation. We're connected with creation. Creation is not so much only, you know, out there, but Pastor Ben made the point that creation is in here. This week, we are exploring the ideas of rootedness and reciprocity with the earth. Just as we care for the earth and all creation, we too are cared for by the earth. We are in relationship with creation in a very profound an intimate way. For instance, perhaps you are a person who spends hours in your garden cultivating the most magnificent orchestra and tapestry of nature. Is that any of you? I am not that person. I cultivate weeds and pluck them sometimes. Or maybe you are one of the many humans who shares your home with a little pet. Anyone have pets here? Yeah, we have some pet people here. I am one of you. I'm one of those pet people. I share my home with a delightful little dog. Her name's Emily. She is a little 10-pound white pup with these oversized ears that makes her look like a perpetual puppy. I often think that it is, you know, part of my gift to humanity that I walk her out into public. People slow down to observe her cuteness. But our relationship to creation is not just limited to our choices to maybe tend a garden or raise a pet, whether they have four legs or no legs or wings. The fact that we are made for creation and creation for us becomes evident in the fact that we humans flourish when we are closer to nature. Did you know, for instance, that researchers have discovered measurable health benefits from spending even 5 minutes in an old-growth forest? Did anyone know that? I'm teaching you things. That's great. There's a practice originating in Japan known as forest bathing. It's a way of mindfully engaging the healing power of green spaces. Evergreen forests especially tend to release this barrage of what are known as phytoncides, essentially naturally occurring airborne essential oils that boost our immune function. According to researchers, even spending just 5 minutes in a green space can lower your blood pressure, reduce stress, improve mood, increase the ability to focus, accelerate recovery from surgery or illness, and increase energy levels and improve sleep. That's pretty good stuff. Anyone need that? Now I realize that we are on the tail end of a truly epic allergy season in the Willamette Valley. And so if there's some deep skepticism about the idea that being outside is good for you is kind of cropping up, believe me, I understand. Maybe you'd benefit more from a little bit of time at the ocean, watching the endless waves wash to and fro. Whatever part of creation you gravitate toward, forest bathing or ocean gazing or something else, the benefits of dwelling in nature help us understand the depth of our relationship with creation. Our biblical texts are full of examples of how we are in relationship with creation. And furthermore, how creation continues to express its relationship with God and with us. In Scripture, creation, and especially the earth, is an agent in the divine drama of history. In our text, Genesis 9 this morning, we see that God creates a covenant not just with Noah and his family and their descendants, right, all of us, but also with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth, as many as came out of the ark. The non-animal part of creation is also party to the covenant, since the clouds and the waters and the rainbows bear witness to God's promise not to destroy the earth again via flood. Not only is creation given assurances by God in our text, but creation also plays a role in the ongoing story. Creation has agency. That's not something we typically think about. The earth and the heavens act as witnesses to the covenant God makes with the Israelites at Sinai. When Israel breaks this covenant, earth itself grieves and cries out. But the earth doesn't only cry out in pain. It also cries out in joy and jubilation. In Psalm 65, the very hills rejoice. In Psalm 100, the earth makes a joyful noise. In Psalm 96, the trees and seas sing for joy. In our psalm for today, the floods clap their hands and the hills sing together for joy. In all of this, we see emerging a kind of divine triangle between God, humanity, and the rest of creation. Through this relationship, creation reminds us of how we are to relate to God. Just as creation praises God, the right posture for us is one of praise. Just as creation responds to God's call and summons to covenant faithfulness, so too are we called to follow God and God's commandments to be filled with the love of God. And yet, when we think about our relationship with creation, and especially what it means to be filled with the fullness of God's love for all God has made, I think it can be hard for us to be truly at ease. We have something of a fraught relationship with the rest of creation. We depend on the earth for our sustenance, but we know that humans have degraded and abused the earth as well. We love the earth and its creatures, especially all our furry and feathered friends that we have in our homes, but we also often look the other way when we hear about unethical practices in industrial-scale factory farming of animals, resulting in the suffering of untold millions of creatures. Our tendency toward urban sprawl leads to the killing of species that compete with us for farmlands and resources. Our culture's best efforts to remedy our wastefulness feels especially anemic. Will reducing, reusing, and recycling really slow the degradation of our friend and home, the Earth? And I think it's here, when we get to this point of deep existential questioning, that God calls us to reimagine and re-envision our relationship to creation. As we more fully live into the divine triangle of relationship with God, humanity, and creation, we begin to think of the earth not only as this temporary home we're just a passing through, but we think of our creation as a friend. We have a relationship with the earth. That's certain. But will it be an antagonistic relationship or a positive one? Will we continue to live as though the earth and all its creatures are simply here for us to use and throw away? Or can we begin to love God's creation as God does? I think our scripture from Ephesians helps us in this regard. In this prayer, we see that the people of God can be empowered to comprehend the incomprehensible. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? This is how we, as creation, become filled with the fullness of God. In an effort to convey just how powerful this fullness is, this prayer seems to evoke a four-dimensional reality that transcends our finite sensibilities of time and space. And yet, it's also a profoundly simple prayer, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we may be rooted and grounded in love. As we move forward in this season of creation, remembering that we are rooted and grounded in love gives us creativity and courage to respond with grace and hope instead of despair at what we face. God's call to us, human beings in relationship with planet Earth, is to remember our rootedness, to love our friend, the Earth. We are all planted somewhere. And as we dig our toes into this dirt, we remember that we, too, are dirt, and to dirt we shall return. We are part of a divine triangle of relationship with God, humanity, and creation. And by God's grace, we can humbly and reciprocally love all God has made. As Paul says elsewhere, love never fails. Thanks be to God, who creates us anew as a people of incomprehensible love. Amen.